Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast.
I start like thinking about it.
Hang on, Laura. Hang on. It's the Ebro Laura Rosenberg live after the live show program. We're here. If you've tuned in, they've told us that they've tweeted out some sort of link. We have some pretty great fans that probably anticipated this going live. And they may already be here. If you didn't listen to the live show today, you may not know that Shiny Culture got stuck in an elevator.
Yes, he was stuck for like 45 minutes. Like
now, stuck. This has sent the thought of it has sent Laura Stiles to a bad place.
Yes, Ebro, because I'm extremely claustrophobic and just thinking about being stuck there, like my chest is tight and like I'm just like anxious. Like when it was happening, my palms were sweaty and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I kept thinking of me being in the elevator.
You haven't gone to see a professional about this?
Yes, I have, but I feel like I need to bring it up more now because I didn't think that it was going to make me feel like this
today.
Nah,
bro. So my lady, she's got a phobia of cats. Like literally sees a cat, freezes. Sees two cats, three cats, we gotta go home.
We were
in Morocco in this small town, Essaouira, and it's an ocean town where, you know, like Jimi Hendrix used to vacation. They have like jazz clubs. It's a dope little town. But there's a lot of cats there because it's on the ocean and it's the deal. When you go to a Muslim nation, there's a lot of cats because Muhammad believed and really loved cats. So there's a lot of cats. You go to an ocean town, there's a lot of cats because it helps deal with the rodents. And, you know, it's like a fishing town, too. So, all of the, you know, kind of pest control, cats are on the job.
We
couldn't do anything in the town.
Oh, no.
Because of her phobia. And so when we got back, she did a hypnosis thing where she listened to these tapes. Her phobia is kind of still there, but it's better. It subsided a little bit.
Okay.
And it's really like a meditation sort of situation. I think you need to go see
somebody
for hypnotherapy.
Yeah, maybe I do.
Because you can't live like this.
I was cool. I was cool. I was like, I got to the root of it. Like, where did this come from? And I talked about it on the show earlier that when I was younger, we were playing hide and go seek and I hid in a dryer.
Right.
And I would always leave the door like cracked. Mm. And this kid like closed the door and was like trapping me in there and threatening me to put a quarter in. And I couldn't get out. And when they finally opened the door, I was so like tense that I couldn't get out. So
Laura, let me ask you this. Do you want this passed on to your child?
No, it's horrible.
Well, no, but so that's why the hypnotherapy is important because, right, we got a baby on the way. When baby Darden gets here, I'm like, yo, I don't want baby Darden to be afraid of cats.
Right.
You don't want to pass these like fears on to your children. So you got to kind of confront these fears. You can't live as Kenza gets older and she might see if she sees mommy go through some sort of episode because of claustrophobia, it's going to scare her too.
But
I'll
go on the elevator. I'm fine. I have no problem taking elevators. I just have to make sure that my mind doesn't go, wait a second, what happens if we get stuck? You know what I mean? I just can't think about that moment.
Well, yeah.
So at least there's people who won't even go on elevators. I will go on the elevator.
But even the way the conversation affected you today.
Yeah, I know. It was just too much.
Like, it changed the trajectory about, of like, your entire day.
And by the way, today
like,
was not
a woman
not
stuck
deep.
In a cave and then the water, like, rising. Like, oh.
Yeah, but that was Rosenberg trolling you. What'd you say, Rosenberg? Can't phobias be passed on? Is that what you said?
Yo, I'm just saying it might just be built in there.
Is it necessarily that they just learn it from her, or can it just
well,
be
well, Laura's
in
was
DNA?
She had a traumatic experience that shaped her feeling. Like it wasn't she was clearly she wasn't afraid of small spaces when she climbed in the in the dryer as a kid to hide.
True. I mean, listen. Yeah, I guess it could just be that. I don't know. Is it necessarily just that? Could it also be?
I don't know. But I definitely
you don't know,
know.
It's that. It's a good story that makes sense of it, but it's also not necessarily what happened.
True. Yeah. But there's. Our fears are learned. Something happened to us, whether it was
yeah,
we
I
were
think
told
mostly,
to fear.
I think that's mostly true.
Yeah, we were told something was scary or we experienced a scary activity in a way that shaped how we view a thing. It's most of us. Right? I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I don't play with the devil. And I'm not even really afraid of the devil. I don't even know if I believe in hell versus heaven and all of that in a it's a good metaphor, but I don't think it's you know, there's people who think these are actual destinations.
Yeah, but are you scared or you just don't play with it on principle?
I don't play with it on principle. I'm not afraid, right? But right. But my point is it was programmed,
right?
See, I'm not
versus like you watch
either.
You watch horror flicks, it's funny and you enjoy them. And you
I was
like
super
being scared.
No, I was obsessively scared with horror movies, though. Obsessively.
Yeah, I'm good.
Terrified. Mm. Couldn't even talk about them. My brother would torment me by saying the names Freddy and Jason just to scare me.
Mm. Oh, my God. Me too, Rosenberg.
And then what happened?
Then I just stopped being a little bitch and started watching these movies. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm still a little bitch and I won't watch, though.
Wait, you won't watch a Freddy and a Jason?
Hell no.
She won't watch She won't watch anything that has scary in it.
No.
What?
And I love it. I'm at the point now, I could literally now fall asleep alone at home to a horror movie and be fine.
See, yeah, I don't play with negative energy like that.
See, but that's different. That's like a thing. I don't play with negative energy. That's like some weird spiritual thing. That's not because you're scared of the movie.
No, but that's,
I just
yeah,
don't
want to
have
like,
nightmares.
I
want to be able
psyche.
To sleep. Remember my nightmare situation where I was kept having nightmares? I don't want to go back there.
What does Kenza have nightmares?
She had night terrors, remember?
She had night terrors. How did you what did you do for her?
She kind of grew out of it. She's okay now, thank God.
Well, I don't want my niece having these elevator phobias and claustrophobias. And what's the other one? Y'all got a spore phobia?
Why you gotta bring it up?
Let's bring our guest in.
No, because y'all got mad folk. What's the spore thing?
Yeah, but is then people gonna send me some dumb pictures?
Small dots with spores and growing little spores and fungi.
Yo, bro, you're disgusting. Honestly,
why is it disgusting? It's natural. It's actually natural occurring on the planet. It's
but if it's something that bothers us, and you're just repeating it over and over again.
You mean like how you describe the person being stuck in a cave with water filling up, so Laura Stiles will have a claustrophobia?
By the way, I actually wasn't trolling Laura. I was bringing up something where I felt what she felt this week.
I hate you both.
She hadn't seen it.
I mean, I can't believe you was doing that to her. It was, you know, she's traumatized.
Maybe anyway, we should have gone back to your description of masturbation on the airwaves.
Okay.
Just like actual talking about.
Yeah, but we all enjoy that, though. That was something to enjoy.
Guys, we have a
we all enjoy some self-pleasure. Well,
I don't know if I need that much detail of the male masturbation, but sure. Hey, Brian, what's up? How you doing?
Brian!
What's up, guys?
Hi. What's going on? Ladies and gentlemen, this person here has made an incredible film. It's dealing with the scandal and the terrible opioid crisis here in America. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you guys.
What's the name of the film one more time, sir?
It's called Junction.
Junction. Brian Greenberg. Now, you're the director or you're the actor?
Keep going. I'm the director. I'm the writer, I'm the producer, I did the craft services, I kind of did everything on this one.
I love that.
My baby.
Talk to us about the catalyst for this film, other than the opioid crisis, but how this really affected you and this was something that you needed to do.
Yeah, well, you know, the opioid crisis, it's like this thing we all hear about all the time. It's like this existential problem, but it's feels a little overwhelming and we don't really talk about it that much or even know how to talk about it because it's so big and it affects so many people. So I wanted to start these conversations about addiction and kind of understand it for myself. So that's what embarked me on the journey. I also had a brief encounter with, you know, being prescribed Oxycontin after like a routine surgery, and I lost a few months to it, and that really, it kind of, it took me back, because I'm not the type of person that likes to have things control me. And I was like, what system was put in place to make addicts out of innocent people? So, yeah. You know, it's that I'm not an addict, but I'm an ally. And, you know, I really just want to like destigmatize addiction for people and bring some humanity to this, because it feels so like generic and abstract right now, you know?
Well, I think it's important to note, though, Brian, that it's like, because, you know, people always like have these like stereotypes of like, oh, what a junkie looks like or an addict, right? And how it could literally affect everyone. I remember, and I've told this story before, how I had like I cracked a tooth and I had like an exposed nerve. So they gave me Vicodin for like a week. And I remember after like the eighth hour, like as soon as it started wearing off, I was like, I just could not stop thinking about taking the next pill to control the pain. Mm-hmm. And up sat in that chair, and I remember asking the dentist, can I have one more? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh my God, who am I? Like, it is so easy, you know, because you're under pain and you just want to control the pain. And it could be anything. It could be, like I said, something like a cracked tooth to a surgery. And it could happen to just anybody. It's so easy. It's so easy to get hooked.
Powerful stuff. And I think we just need to be very careful about, I mean, the government is cracked down. This takes place in 2017, at like the beginning of when the like it was too much, and the regulations started coming in, and now this is like people. It takes place in one day with three different characters. So you got the CEO of a pharmaceutical company. You've got a doctor who is running a pill mill essentially, but she also wants to help her patients. And then you have I play this character Michael, who's you know, like you're saying, it's like he's a rich white guy, has all the money in the world, very successful, wife, kids, like doesn't fit your stereotypical type of what you think as a junkie. And he's hooked and he's on like death's door and he's about to go to the street, you know, to get it fixed. So it's just, I don't know. It's it's a problem that affects all of us. And I just wanted to, it's such a big thing that I just wanted to take it down into a micro story and really just see these three characters in their day and how they're all affected by this problem.
Anika P, we have some people watching us live right now, Brian. Anika P writes and says, love Brian Greenberg's work, she says. So shout out to her. I think, you know, one of the things I often think about, I recently just had a partial knee replacement on November 7th, and I didn't take, I think I took of the prescribed, I think it was Oxycontin, or Vicodin. Yeah. I don't remember which one. I took one the third night and fourth night to sleep through the night, and then maybe took a third one a couple of days later. But I mostly took edibles, and they gave me some aspirin for blood clots. But I stayed away from the opioids for the most part.
That's good. There's
and it was for the same reason, because I knew over 12 weeks, you know, I've been dealing with knee pain probably for, I mean, a large portion of my life just from injuries from playing sports, but then most recently with arthritis. So knee pain has just been very common for me, right? And so I wanted to stay away from the opioids just because I knew the urge to just feel good is something we all have, and the shortcut to feeling good is something that I think is, I know it's definitely a part of our culture here in America, right? Like fast food, you know, everything quick. We want everything quick. We want quick diet. We want to lose weight quick. We want to be in shape quick. You know, everything is quick. Dan, what's the show? 60 Second Fiance is, and we want to get married quick.
90
we
days.
Everything's 90. Fast. Like, we want everything fast. And that, or was it 90 Day Fiance? Whatever it is. Yeah. So everything's fast. So some of this is kind of built into us culturally, where, you know, we kind of have a society that's based on, you know, going to a specialist, give me a pill and fix my problems. Yeah. I remember there used to be commercials on, I don't know if it was TV or radio, where it was like, do you have shake leg syndrome? You know, does your leg constantly shake? And it's like, we got a pill for that too.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big Pharma's running America, that's for sure.
Now, how can people watch this film?
So you can watch it right now. It's in theaters, select theaters, but you can just go on iTunes or Amazon Prime. You can rent it. It's like $5.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's anywhere you can stream it on VOD.
Talk to me about my guy Griffin Dunn. We work out at the same gym.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He works down with me and my boy Joe at J Train Fitness, but. Talk about working with him. He seems like a great guy at the gym, but is he a knucklehead?
No.
Is he a knucklehead? You can tell me, Brian. Tell me.
No, he's cool, man. I worked with him before on How to Make It in America. We did a scene together. And so when my movie started, I got the funding and it started becoming real, I reached out to him because, you know, he plays the character of Lawrence, who runs this pharmaceutical company. And he's a very powerful man. And I think Griffin just has this gravitas towards him. That he emulates, and he's such a nice guy in real life, but this character is pretty dark, and I as an actor always want to see, I believe in actors who don't, we often get pigeonholed as like being the nice guy, being the, you know, whatever, but I just wanted to see him because I knew he had it in him, like not that he's a bad guy, but just to see him have that little edge to him and play something different. And he just killed it. He was so great to work with, such a pleasure. Not a lot of like people would, even though I'm an actor, this is my first time directing. So everybody took a risk on me, you know, everybody took a chance. They believed in my vision. So I'm eternally grateful that all the actors that came on board, because a lot of these people, I mean, they got their own shows, they got their own movies. Like they don't do these kind of little independent films like this. So I'm so honored and grateful that I got, the cast is fantastic.
Oh yeah. What was
Ebro? Dasha Polanco's in it, Jamie Chung. It's fire.
Yeah. Shout out to Dasha, Jamie. What were you going to say, Rosenberg?
I was just say from your first moment, Brian, that this was like a kernel of an idea in your head to release. What's that timeline?
Man, I mean, this took about 4 years, to be honest. It was one of those things, I was working as an actor, but I wasn't really doing the kind of roles that I wanted to do. Like I was saying before, I wasn't being challenged. And I think the audience was also seeing me in the same type of thing. I wanted to shake it up. And I really just wanted to tell this story. So it was hard because I wanted to direct this. And I knew that if I was in a third of the film, I thought that would be attainable. Like I wasn't doing too much. I mean, you know, Ben Affleck, Bradley Cooper, all these guys do it all the time. It's not the craziest thing to direct and act in a movie, but for my first time, I just wanted to like kind of ease into it a little bit. So that was hard, you know, trying to get producers on board, you know, they're trying to kick me off the film as a director, like, oh, you could just be an actor, or maybe you just be a director and you don't act in it, all sorts of iterations. And then I found some investors, and I would just go to everybody. I would be at a party and be like, hey, what are you up to? And I'm like, oh, I got the script. I was just another actor in the script, until I met somebody who knew somebody who, at the Sandgard Foundation, which is a foundation dedicated to fighting the opioid epidemic. They read the script. They believed in me. They saw my vision. They wrote the check. And then it was on from there. So it was completely independently financed. We shot in Rhode Island. You know, it took about 2 years to come out. And it's been amazing. Like, the reception has been great. Like, we're winning festivals. And it's really connecting with audiences. And so many people are coming up to me. People in my own life that I didn't know, because it's such a private, you know, addictions is such a private issue for a lot of people. And, you know, pulling me aside and be like, hey, I also struggled with this. And, you know, thank you for, you know, shedding light on it. And, you know, we need to have more of these conversations. So that part is amazing, that it's really connecting with an audience.
Well, in the film Junction, and on your path to making it, did you learn anything about, you know, the court cases, the money that's being, the companies that are being sued, the money that's being distributed to families? Yeah. Like, what's really happening there?
It's crazy. It's a good question, because I mean, this was an ongoing case. So I wrote this before Dope Sick, right? Before, what's the other one? Painkillers, that came out on Netflix, because independent films, they take a little longer. You don't have the studios just pushing things through. So I'm not an expert on this stuff. So I sought out, I just cold emailed like New York Times journalists, Wall Street Journal journalists, just people who are experts on it. And I was like, hey, this is an ongoing case that's evolving, talking about Purdue Pharma and what they did with oxycodone and OxyContin, the Sackler family. And so it was kind of like changing and moving. And I decided like, whoa, this is too real and I can't keep up with it because this is not a documentary. So why don't I fictionalize this? So I can just, it's not about the case, the Sacklers, Purdue Pharma. It's based on that, but it's really about, instead of like trying to chase the truth that's evolving and changing so quick, I was like, let's just make it about the people. And like, I'm an actor. Yeah. That's what I'm more interested in. And the moral dilemmas that, you know, all these people go through, like the doctor, for example, Mary, you know, she's one of the leads and she opened this pain clinic because she wanted to help people, but she's also got three kids and one got into Columbia and she's a single mom and she's trying, you know, all these people are depending on her and she wants to make money and, you know, money rules the world. So it's like, she's conflicted, you know, and like people depend on her to make this money, but she's also destroying her community. Those kind of conflicts are what I was more interested in. So I kind of then Dopesick came out, which I thought was great and amazing. Danny Strong did a great job, but they have 8-9 hours to tell this story. I was like, I only got 90 minutes. I don't need to explain to the audience how the opioid crisis started. Let's just talk about the people. So it's kind of early.
Did you now, because one of the things I'm watching is just how this actually plays out in real life. Obviously, this is a fiction, you know, you articulated, it's a fictional film.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be interesting where we go as a nation in dealing with corporations that know that. I mean, somewhere, somehow, somebody had to say, yo, we are selling a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And this is a problem. You know what I mean? And that corporate greed, corporate responsibility, like that's all on the table.
Yeah.
And how we I think we should feel this way. If this isn't covered and people aren't paying attention, it'll just be another one of those things that falls by the wayside and we don't learn anything from it.
Yeah, exactly. We got to hold these corporations accountable. And I think we are. And, you know, you can see it with the Sacklers, like, you know, but they're even trying to weasel out of it because now they're trying to say, oh, we filed for bankruptcy, even though they're worth $11 billion. They say, oh, we're only worth $2 billion and, you know, we'll pay the $2 billion and then we're not accountable for any other losses.
Right. Yeah. They want to settle out and then you can't come after us anymore. No,
that's not that easy. So we gotta like stay on them about that.
Also in the comments here, we have Joshua and Jackie. They want to talk about One Tree Hill.
Sure.
A reunion. Is that happening?
A reunion? Well, I don't know about a reunion. Sophia Bush, who was an actor who I was on One Tree Hill for the first 3 seasons as a guest, recurring guest star. It was great. It was one of these shows that, like, it's just affecting people all over the world. And no matter where I go, it's just such a beloved character. But Sophia Bush, who was one of the leads on that show, plays my ex-wife in Junction. And so that was really, we had like a mini reunion because I didn't really get to work with her that much on the show. But she's fantastic in Junction.
Oh, that's why Jackie Sangalo writes an excited for a mini One Tree.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Brian, we appreciate your time today. Everybody tuned in right here and anybody watching, whenever you get to this on demand, go check out Junction. It's everywhere. Amazon, iTunes, theaters. Go look for it. Brian, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Brian.
Congrats, bro. Thanks. Now,
hi.
Laura Stiles.
Yes.
Back to your... psychotherapy, you're gonna go there. No, hypnotherapy. There you go.
Hypnotherapy.
Can we get it done?
I've done hypnotherapy before for other
stuff. Did it work?
It was yes. It brought up some things that I was very that I just didn't think that I was feeling. It's very interesting, but yes, I'm not going to say I enjoyed it, but I thought it was successful for what it was.
So it was useful. But
yes. But okay. I think I might try it again. I might explore it. I don't know.
I think I've known you for some time and you have dream catchers, claustrophobia. We can't even talk about spores, the claustrophobia, The list. I mean, you got a few items on the list. I want to support you in this endeavor.
Thank you. Rosenberg is right there with me, though, on some things. So
we'll get to Rosenberg. His issues are different.
Just one of them.
Him, you and him only align on the spores.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to fears, yeah.
Fungus, spores.
Yeah, we don't like
it's
it.
Not fungus.
Small dots, growing spores, fungi.
You wouldn't just go throw a cat in your girl's face.
No.
But here you are, just trying to make
But I will show her a picture of cats, though. I will. I'll be like, hey, babe, cats. I'll do
How does she feel about Hello Kitty?
Hello Kitty is in. I don't think it does anything. I think, honestly, with the cats, it's something, and it's not the fluffy cats. It's like the cats that don't have a lot of fur that look almost
How does she feel about the bald ones?
Bro, I feel some type of way about the hairless cats.
The hairless ones.
It's the hairless cats one. Are problematic.
It's a common one, though. The fear of cats is common, and it's like, it's funny because I like cats, but I do get it also. I could see.
Because you don't know what they're thinking, right? You don't.
You, cats, not, I mean, it's if you don't know them, I mean, it right. depends. Like, I've had cats before that I think of them just like a dog. I know kind of exactly what they're going to be doing all the time. They're yours. Like, you understand what their MO is. But I could see how you see random cats. But, like, she gets freaked out. If she sees one kitten, does it scare her?
Nah, it's not a kitten. It's not the kittens.
So a small kitten is fine.
Small kitten won't bother her.
But if she sees one, just one adult cat, she's scared?
Yes, especially if it surprises her.
Like, gotcha. You're at someone's house and an adult cat just walks up.
Yes. Sure. Oh, there is. Yeah. If she's sitting down and you know how cats like to walk under your legs, under your feet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bro. She may not recover for a good month.
and will it be an outlier? Have you ever had the awkward situation where you're like hanging with people and she outright like screams?
No, it won't be an outright like scream. She will get up and walk away unannounced.
Right.
She will. She's
she'll give
out
you
of
the look
si-
like we gotta go. We gotta
out
go.
Of the situation.
And then you. And then when she walks away, do you like quietly go like she has a cat phobia?
Yeah. I'll be like, she's afraid of cats. And then I got to walk over with her. Because then she's not coming back to the table until the cat's gone. And then, on top of that, we have to then have a convo constantly about where the cat is in her vicinity for the rest of the night. And maybe the rest of the weekend if we're, like, on vacation or something.
Oh, my God.
And we're absolutely not going to somebody's house if they got a cat.
Got you.
All right, even if they say, hey, we know Jazz is coming over, we're gonna put the cat away.
She might be like cool with that, you know what I mean? But people
she
need
has to trust the people that they're really gonna
they
take it serious.
They gotta take the phobia serious. It's a thing, bro. It's a real thing. But she did the hypnotherapy and it seems to be better. She saw a cat, she told me the other week, they were crossing paths in the parking lot of her job, and normally she would have like literally stopped in her tracks and waited for the cat to disappear or go somewhere or walk back where she came from and then come back later. It's that bad.
Mm. So now she saw the cat. She was like, peace.
She
my
was
G.
like, cool. The cat ain't thinking about me. I ain't thinking about the cat. Moving on. No problem. Let's see. Chocolate One writes, hey, y'all. I love listening to you guys. Ebro, you took it too far this morning. Had my 15-year-old asking me all types of questions. Well,
you
Chocolate One,
video.
If your 15-year-old has not, you guys have not had a conversation about pleasuring yourself.
Come on, bro. That's the angle you're going with? You can't just go with, all right, I went a bit far. You're very stubborn. We all told you this is too far.
What? I don't think pleasuring yourself is.
It's not about that. You can't do descriptions for
people. I didn't describe it.
Laura, did I make up when he said, was the hand around it or was it going over the top of it? You literally went into detail.
I mean, that's like
when we tell you to like chill, you just
keep
going.
We talk about a cup. You know what I'm saying? You got to put your hand around cups. It's all type of stuff. You
it was very descriptive. It was like, God. You can't listen. You're right. People should know things, but it's not our job to
a
say, hey, we're going to show kids. 15-year-old
doesn't know about pleasure in themselves.
But it's not our job to show their kids porn. Be like, hey, take a look at this.
Matter of fact, I didn't even bring the topic up. I haven't even seen the video.
Which just makes it all the more reason why you're a nutty.
So I had questions like anybody else. You guys want to talk about Drake online.
Yo, you guys see this level of deflection? Jerking instead of just going, you know what? Maybe I went questions. A little too far.
What was he really doing?
We don't even know if it's him. We don't. because it's literally like he's covering his face with his phone, but we think it is, but we don't know.
Well, Chocolate One, we love you for listening. Talk to your kids about their bodies and sexuality. You know what I'm saying? It's healthy. It's healthy. It's normal. Hot Rod Rick.
Ebro is wild. Everyone's saying that you're wild. On
Hot Rod Rick writes, legend has it, Shawnee's still in the elevator. Hot Rod Rick, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Shawnee is not in the elevator. Shawnee, you're around, right? He's there. He's not in the elevator.
Shawnee was able to get out.
Shawnee's good.
FDNY got him out.
And this has been the weekly live after the live program show from Ebro, Laura, and Rosenberg. See you next week.
WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.